Alex Newton has come into the studio. Alex is your deliverer of chiropractic advice. Hello, how
are
you?
Good afternoon, Alan. Very wet and soggy, I'm afraid.
Well, I know.
Is
there truth in the thing about, my bones are aching because it's so damp outside?
Oh, yes.
Is there a reality to that?
I can tell you when the weather's coming in.
Yeah?
Like that.
Okay. Well, so we can dispense with the seaweed.
It's the pressure. It's the change in atmospheric pressure that gives us that sort of increased irritation of inflammation in the joints. When that changes, that's when we feel it in our bones.
Yeah. I thought it was the dampness, but it's the pressure.
It's to do with the pressure, air pressure.
Okay. You've popped in. You can say hello to Nigel and Anthony, the board game boys from Newark. They've got a cafe with board games. 300 board games. Well, more than 300 now.
Close. No, that was somebody we met. Got considerably more than we had. But close to 300.
Getting close to 300 board games. And many of them you won't have heard of. I don't think I've heard of a lot of their games. But they deal in the sort of experience that you won't get at home, I suppose. That's part of what you do, isn't it? You need to offer something that you can't get at home. However, while the record was on, the conversation very quickly locked onto Monopoly. So do you have copies of Monopoly at your cafe?
We do. We have the traditional and we also have some more modern versions. So Fortnite Monopoly, you may have heard of.
I mean, it takes long enough as it is. I don't want one that lasts that long.
No, but it's a very popular computer game at the moment, and we thought we'd give it a try, getting that version into the board game cafe, see if we could attract a younger audience that are interested in that.
Right.
And so far, so good. It's been off the shelf quite a few times.
Okay, Alex, your board game of choice would be Monopoly, I think.
I'm afraid so, although my family do ban it from me allowing to do it at Christmas because
get
a bit... it do get a bit aggressive and a bit competitive about it. So,
right. Is this just a function of the Christmas spirit, shall we say? Is this...
No, probably not. No, just the urge to win. And I need to help teach my children how to play it better, really, rather than trying monopolising the whole game myself. Excuse the pun.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good intention, but many parents find this. They want to teach their children the right way, but they don't want to be shown up to be not as good as their kids. What is your tactic for playing Monopoly? Do you have a strategy?
Buy. Just as much as possible.
Keep buying.
Oh, and I always like the sort of the old Kent Road and the Mayfair and Park Lane, don't you? The two at the other extremes.
Yes, you've got the two brown ones, the cheap ones, and then the two blue ones, which are quite close, which are the really expensive ones. Yeah, so you like to get that corner.
That corner, and then, you can always catch them when they're passing go and take that £200 off them again.
And here's a key question. I don't know if you've thought about this much. When you say you want to buy. If you don't have the cash, would you mortgage something that you've already bought in order to buy more property? Are you that sort of level
not
of
quite
property
that ruthless.
Developer?
No. Usually just wait my turn and try not to land in jail or on somebody else's property in the meantime.
See,
it's a throw of the dice, isn't it, really?
Different people have different rules for Monopoly, I think. If you've ever played Monopoly at somebody else's house, there will be something that happens where you go, do you? I remember once playing at somebody else's house and they dictated that all the fines that you had to pay went into the middle of the board. And if you landed on free parking, you got all the money.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, yes, we use that one now.
Do
it's
you?
Quite nice, yeah.
Oh, you see.
That's why I've always got cash, you see.
I think technically it goes back into the bank, which should do.
It should do,
but,
yes.
But yeah, I've played the same game where you play it into the middle. Yeah.
Right.
That's a Brucey Benner you go past.
The banker doesn't run out of money, though,
And the things that you can and can't do when you're in jail. I always think it's wrong that if you're in jail, you can still collect rent.
Yes. You can, I think, by the rules, still rules. But yeah, I guess it's in versions. People play different versions. But yes, you can.
I would change that. Well, because it doesn't seem fair that otherwise going to jail is no hardship, is it?
I often think Monopoly is a bit more about the kind of the journey rather than the destination. Because I remember as a child often seeing the board destination up in the air after about 3 hours. So it's more the pleasure of playing than the actual who wins in the Emperor's.
That's true, actually. The early childhood is filled with memories of non-finished Monopoly games because it can take forever. Right, and you pointed out something also, Nigel, that I think is a bit of earth-shattering news for anyone who plays Monopoly who's not thought about this, with regards to houses and hotels.
Yes, so obviously there's a finite number of the green houses, and should you obtain all of those, you have to get four normally before you then upgrade to a hotel. But if you keep those four on each of your properties, then obviously eventually they'll run out from the board and they won't be able to be repurchased by anyone else. So should you just keep those on there, you've pretty much got a monopoly of the greenhouses, and therefore you should be in a really strong position to win.
That does then require quite strict imposition of the rule about you can't go from no property to a hotel in one go.
Yeah, technically you should grow the houses on, yeah, equally across your set,
yes,
and then up to the level of four before you then upgrade.
Mm.
But if you kept them as just the houses on that, you know, on your card,
you stop anybody.
You stop anyone else from getting any.
That's, you're making notes over there, Alex.
I am. Yes, yeah. I can't wait to get home and get the board out now.
She can have all the green ones and then just laugh when people can't put anything on their own properties. So that's Monopoly done and dusted. Whilst you're here, Alex, I think we can talk usefully about maintaining good posture and avoiding aches and pains while playing board games. So we'll have a look at that from your chiropractic perspective. You've got Nigel Katz and also from the cafe with board games, Anthony Foxwell. Are you an Anthony or an Anthony?
Ironically, most people call me Anth.
Anth.
Yes, okay. That's right. Yeah,
right.
Just to be different.
Yeah. yesterday we had somebody in, she won't mind me saying this, she spelt her name Sarah, but pronounced it Sarah. And names are such a thing. Now we've got a grip on both of your names. Alex Newton, a regular visitor. You're an Alex, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. And chiropractor. And thought that it might be interesting to get your views on people who play board games, Alex, and how much danger they could be putting themselves in long term.
Yes, well, probably less than the computer games, because they do run away time-wise. But
well, there's a thing about growing horns, isn't there? Have you seen that?
Oh, you saw that. We put a post of that on, yeah. So that's some latest research that came through. And they did some x-rays on the back of people's skulls and noticed that there's an overdevelopment of a protuberance, the external occipital protuberance, if you please, where some muscles attach onto right on the base of the skull. And this seems to have elongated slightly. Now, bearing in mind, there's a law called Wolf's Law, which is where bone deforms under pressure, which is why when you break your leg or something, you've got to start weight-bearing again relatively quickly. So the bone actually regrows. So if bone is put under pressure, it actually lays down more bone. So what they think may have been happening, although it's very early days of the research, is that with the children having their heads cocked forward and looking down at their iPhones and various other gadgets for long extended periods of time, that you're getting a overdevelopment of this sort of protuberance on the back of the head, and it looks like a little bit like a unicorn horn on the base of your skull. So yes, I say heads up, kids, and be aware that the body is evolving to modern technology.
See, I can remember probably 20 years ago where we were all worried that people were going to develop massive thumbs because of computer games and the consoles. I don't know that that's happened. But
sore thumbs, I think, we have, rather than massive ones. But
this sort of bony spurs growing out the back of your neck.
It's cause for concern, isn't it? But
it's weird,
the research is very early and it was only one off, so yes.
Well, let's hope that bony spurs aren't a problem for anyone, but aches and pains when you've been sat concentrating on something at a desk, for example, a board game, you might not realise quite what's happening to you until you get up or try and move about.
Yeah, certainly sitting at a table to do the board games and things is obviously much better than sitting on the floor, perhaps. We see a lot of people who've sort of sat playing with the children on the floor and developed all sorts of aches and pains in their lower backs and hips and things. But sitting at the desk is great. And as our hosts have said, going to the loo frequently because they're drinking lots of tea is really great, that they're getting up and having those micro breaks. So like anybody who's going to sit for sort of four or six or 8 hours during the day or during a period at work or playing those board games, really every sort of 40-45 minutes or so, just standing up and sitting down, resetting your posture is all that's really required. And then probably do two or three different games where you're actually doing different things. You mentioned earlier about doing ones that you can sort of walk around the table for, and so perhaps interchange some of the games that you're doing through the day, perhaps one in the morning and a different one in the afternoon, so you're using different types of muscles and different postures would be ideal to recommend to some of your board frenzied clients.
So there are sort of standing up type games that you have.
Yeah, so I was mentioning that there's one game which is based around a temple escape, So it's frantic rolling of dice in no particular order. You're all players are playing the same, and you know you're actively on your feet, moving around the table, trying to get to certain locations in the temple, and then find your way out before the timer runs out. And is that app driven? I can't remember, Anthony. Is that
no, that one we have got some.
Time involved in it.
We've got another game that's, I suppose, almost there is some crossover with the idea of video games, like real time. I suppose is the term. So there's no turn sequence there. I suppose if you think of the film Aliens, it's along that idea, but you're constantly playing and you play constantly for 3 or 4 minutes and then you have a little downtime and then you carry on and so on. So there can be some quite physical active games available.
And the one that I thought of earlier on when it comes to board games and being physically active, Twister. So have you played Twister, Alex?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, you with enthusiasm.
With enthusiasm.
Just the chiropractors.
Yeah, I get a bit of a knot, but yeah, that's good. That one. Yeah.
Do you actively participate, or do you just stand on the sidelines giving advice to people?
I've actively participated among my children. Yes. It's great for learning left from right, and which is your hand and which is your foot is always a good start to know how to play that one. But yeah,
is this something that you will be offering in the Buttermar Kitchen?
As we expand, I think we're open to all types of options. Yeah.
I think it's something that will bring an audience. If you've got a Twister competition going on, others will come just to watch, won't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly fits with where we'd like to go and the current guests that we're getting, that we want to be very family orientated, and as the space dictates, we want to allow families to bring that, you know, their children who can play at all ages. So that's certainly an area that we are developing into the future.
Well, fantastic to meet you both, Nigel and Anthony, and you'll find their cafe in the Butter Market, and it's called
Let's Escape Together.
After 3 o'clock, Alex is here, as you know, the chiropractor. I want to talk about footwear in particular.
Yeah, both left and right.
Yeah,
yes.
And the differences that some of footwear can make to your aches and pains.
Yes, I think we need to be mindful about what we're doing to ourselves. We're seeing a lot of foot problems at the moment at the clinic, so I'd like to share a few gems with you.